In Revelation 3, Jesus addresses three very different churches, each with its own strengths. Sardis, known for its past glory, now drifts away from the church. Philadelphia, though small, holds fast, trusting in Christ alone. Laodicea, confident in its wealth, has unknowingly closed its doors to the Lord. Jesus calls these churches and us to wake up, stay true, and renew our fellowship with Him.
Well, we're about to set sail again back into the private mail, the letters from Jesus Christ written to seven churches. I want to begin by reading this quote from a Bible scholar. He said this, "People do not drift toward holiness. People do not gravitate toward godliness. We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom." Well, beloved, I couldn't agree anymore. This is not only a true danger for Christians, this is a danger for every local church as well. And as we set sail back into Revelation chapter 3, we're going to find three more letters written by the Lord to these three churches. Now, two of these churches are seriously drifting away from the truth. Well, the first letter in chapter 3 is delivered to the church in Sardis, and the Lord signs the letter, so to speak, in verse 1, with a description of Himself as this, "Him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Again, beloved, seven refers to completeness, perfection, or fullness. The Holy Spirit completely and fully discerns every situation. He examines fully every heart. And that's critical here because, you know, from all outward appearances, the church in Sardis would be doing quite well. But the Lord says here in the last part of verse 1, "You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." See, His perfect discerning perception gives this divine diagnosis. The church had a reputation for being alive, a vibrant church. But reputation and reality, beloved, can be very different. Jesus says here in verse 2 that their works were not complete in the sight of God. Now, what that means is that they had a wonderful past, but they had no vital works or ministry in the present. So they needed to wake up to the reality of their spiritual slumber. And Jesus makes an appeal in this letter to their own history that they would have remembered. The fortress city of Sardis sat on top of a tall mountain, and three of its sides were sheer cliffs. So it was naturally protected on three sides. Centuries earlier, when King Cyrus had marched against Sardis, he was unable to find a way in. So finally, he offered a reward to any soldier who could find an entry into the city. Well, an alert soldier named Hieroides was just watching one day, and a guard up on that city wall accidentally dropped his helmet down the cliff. And without even pausing, he climbed over the wall and down that precipice, retrieved his helmet, and climbed back up. Well, Hieroides noted the place where that soldier had climbed down, and that night he led a small band of warriors up that same path where they'd notched little openings for handholds. And when they reached the top, they found the city guards asleep. The wall was unguarded, and the city caught by surprise. If you can believe it, centuries later, history repeated itself, and Sardis fell a second time when a band of soldiers entered the city in the same way and the guards were asleep. So it's no coincidence, beloved, that two times Jesus stresses the idea of alertness. He says here in verse 2, "Wake up and strengthen what remains." And in verse 3, "If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief and come against you." Don't repeat spiritually what happened to your city physically. The church in Sardis needed to wake up. There's spiritual danger. There's a danger of drifting away from the truths that they had been taught. Well, now the next letter is written to the church in Philadelphia, and Jesus again describes himself here in verse 7 as the letter opens, as one who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. Well, then he says to this church, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. It's verse 8. Now he's referring to a door of opportunity for even greater service. The Apostle Paul often referred to open doors of ministry. He wrote to the Corinthians that a wide door for effective work has opened for me, and there are many adversaries, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. I love his spirit. I have an open door for the gospel. Well, Paul, how do you know that? There are a lot of adversaries against me. You see, Paul understood the principle that there is no such thing as opportunity, spiritual opportunity, without satanic opposition. God opens the doors, but how do you qualify to walk through those open doors? Well, Jesus tells us here in verse 8, I know that you have but little power. I love that. He doesn't say, well, you've got it all together. You've got great power and spiritual strength. No, you just got a little power. See, they didn't have any power really in themselves, but they trusted Christ, and that was enough. And Jesus commends them here. He says, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. You know, in this letter, there's not one negative word from the Lord. In fact, he gives this church and every church that follows him this promise, verse 10, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. Well, this applies to the church age, beloved. For 2,000 years, the church has endured persecution and opposition, some places much more than others. But Jesus says here that the church will not suffer the trial that is coming on the whole world. This isn't local trouble here. This is global trouble. This is a reference to the coming tribulation period, and Jesus is effectively promising his church that they will not experience this global time of tribulation. In fact, Jesus says here in verse 11, I am coming soon. That language points to his imminent return. Imminent means at any moment he could return. This is a reference to the rapture. He's going to rapture the church away before this time of trouble comes, this tribulation period unfolds, and it is an unfolding over the entire earth, the entire human race. Now, in contrast to this wonderfully encouraging letter, we now come to the final letter to the church in Laodicea. Jesus addresses this church here in verses 15 and 16. He says to them, you are neither cold nor hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, there's nothing like cold water on a hot day. It's refreshing. Or hot water on a cold day is comforting. Lukewarm water is neither. Lukewarm is the biblical term for compromise. The problem is those in this church, well, they don't realize the danger they're in. They're comfortable in a rather comfortable city. Laodicea made garments that were exported all over the known world. They made the name brand clothing of their generation. Laodicea was the medical hub of the world where people flocked for treatment and for healing. They had even developed an ointment for people to put on their eyes to help with failing eyesight. Laodicea was also the banking center of Asia Minor. Let me tell you, beloved, Laodicea seemed to have it all. But Jesus has this to say to this local church that had become like, well, they'd become like their host city. Verse 17, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. This is, you see, the divine physician's diagnosis. And it's pretty bleak, but there is hope. Here's Jesus's threefold, we could call it, invitation to them in verse 18. First, he says, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. In other words, don't put your trust in your banking system there in Laodicea. Second, Jesus says, buy from me white garments so that you may clothe yourself. In other words, don't focus on that physical clothing you're making, those name brands, all the while ignoring the more important spiritual clothing. Finally, Jesus says here, buy from me salve to anoint your eyes. In other words, you got your homemade ointment for physical sight, but that's not nearly as important as your spiritual sight. Now Jesus writes this invitation in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. That's another way of saying this church has some hope. The text now here is often used as an evangelistic appeal to unbelievers, but it's actually an invitation for believers. This is an invitation to a church to allow the Lord in, to fellowship in close communion through obedience. Philadelphia is the church of the open door. Laodicea is the church of the closed door. They have broken fellowship with Christ. They're effectively keeping him out. I wonder how many churches are doing that today. Anybody can come in but Jesus. Well, Jesus here isn't going to break the door down. You notice? He's knocking. He's graciously asking for a repentant church to receive him back into their fellowship. So, beloved, let's apply that to our own lives. Let's make sure our hearts are open to him. Let's make sure we're not drifting away from his word. Let's walk in fellowship with our Savior today. Well, until we set sail again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Drifting Away from the Truth. In each letter, Jesus invites us to examine our own lives. Are we drifting, lukewarm, or holding fast? Let's renew our commitment to stay close to His truth and keep our hearts and churches open to His presence. Want help being strong in the Lord? Visit wisdomonline.org to learn more about us and to access Stephen's complete teaching library. You'll find daily broadcasts and hundreds of sermons organized by Book of the Bible, all free. Catch up on any missed lessons anytime at wisdomonline.org. Please join us again next time.